Hey, what's up? This is Leo here for Actualize.org, and today I want to cover the topic of vacations and how sometimes taking a vacation is really the answer to all of life's problems. Vacations and also breaks, because the two are basically one and the same, just with different durations. Now, I have a question for you. Are you a high achiever? Do you consider yourself a high achiever? And if so, how much time are you putting into work, let's say? Are you putting in over 40 hours a week? Are you putting in 50 hours? Are you putting in 60 hours? Maybe 80 hours? Well, when was the last time you took a vacation from all that and just took a nice long break? Being a high achiever myself, or at least how I think of myself as one, I've really found that being able to use your time off in a strategic way, whether it's a vacation or a break throughout the day, is really important towards getting maximum performance out of yourself. Because, well, frankly, if you're working those 80 hours a week, you're not going to be able to sustain that forever. And even if you could, the performance that you're getting out of yourself is not what it could be if you reduce the amount of hours and spent more of that time doing stuff that rejuvenated your mind and your body. So that's where vacations come into play. In fact, the reason I came up with this topic is that the last few weeks I spent really hammering down on this website. So I was really doing a lot of work on actualize.org, writing articles and shooting video and spending a lot of time doing coding and et cetera, doing some research. And basically I was cooped up in my house doing all that, and I wouldn't even go out to see the daylight until I would only go outside when it was already dark. And so a few weeks of doing that, and here's what I found, is I found that actually I was fairly productive. I got a lot of stuff done. I got a lot of stuff done on the site. I got my business developing along the lines that I wanted to. But I also started to just get this bad sense, this sense of boredom, this sense that I was kind of everything that I was excited about before, like writing articles, doing research, setting up my site, this is all stuff that I should love to do. After a few weeks of that, just nonstop hammering in and out, is that I started to realize that I'm losing that juice that I have for it. And I'm not as motivated to get engaged. I'm not coming up with those creative ideas. And I just plain old feel bad about myself. I feel like my life is out of whack because I'm spending too much of it with my eyes staring into a computer screen. And so it took me, you know, I was doing this for a couple of weeks, and it took me a while to really even realize what the issue was. And the issue was that I just didn't give myself any breaks. And I was just kind of so involved, so in the flow, in the moment, doing this stuff day after day, that the days bled together, the weeks bled together. And so that's classic workaholic syndrome, right? And what I decided to do, and this is something that I came up with because I've done it in the past unconsciously, now I'm a little bit more aware of how to do it, is I plan myself, I basically force myself against my will to take a break over the weekend. So the last few weeks I haven't been working weekends, rather I have been working weekends, and weekdays and weekends, so it just like everything bled together and there was no break. And I started getting so bored that I just told myself, you know what, this upcoming Saturday and upcoming Sunday, I'm going to spend those days doing anything but work, anything but sitting at the computer, anything but reading a book, anything but doing some sort of research or shooting a video or any kind of web development coding that I was doing on the site. And I said that I'm just going to take my mind off of it. Not only am I not going to sit down and do that stuff, I'm also going to take my mind off of it and just think about other things. I'm going to think about, well, really anything other than the work. And what I found was that it's actually, doing this is challenging. If you're an overachiever type of person, like a type A personality, then you tend to want to always be on the go doing stuff, and you don't really care about taking breaks. Maybe you even pride yourself in that you can outwork other people around you. I think that's well and good. That can be a strength. It can also be a weakness because, well, you drain yourself, and the question is, how sustainable is that over the long term? So what I did here is actually I created like a little mini vacation for myself over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what I decided to do is just to go shopping, just go clothes shopping. Shopping is something that I enjoy. I'm not saying that that's what your vacation should be like, but for me it was great because it took my mind totally off of work and allowed me to just look at something else. You know, I was looking at clothes I wanted to buy, clothes I didn't want to buy, just walking around, enjoying the malls, and etc., etc. What I actually found was that doing that for that first Saturday was fairly easy. I've used this kind of strategy in the past, and it was fairly easy to start to just take my mind off work. But then what I found was that after that first Saturday, I actually got the benefit that I was seeking. Is I got a little bit of refreshment, so my mind felt clearer the next day, and I felt eager to jump back in. In fact, when I was driving back home from the mall in my car, I had some new like creative ideas started popping up for me of kind of what kind of video topics I want to shoot next, kind of articles I want to write, maybe some other ideas for how to develop the site. And so that was great. It was like my creativity was coming back to me after being all sucked out from the few weeks of work prior to that. And what I found was that when I got home later that night, it was Saturday night, is that I was actually very eager than to jump back into work, right? And it's that high achiever tendency is that, okay, I feel a little bit refreshed, I can work now, jump back in. But then I kind of held myself back and I said, no, I'm gonna give it the full 2 days. I don't want to cut this vacation short. And so what I did is the next Sunday, the following Sunday, is that I went and I also did shopping, did some other stuff, ran some errands, just totally took my mind off of work, didn't even think about it while I was doing that other stuff. And what ended up happening was that by Monday, I was back at work, and I found that my productivity had increased, my mind was sharper, everything was effortless too. What started happening the previous week was that stuff started to become grindy. I started to develop some resistance around doing some of the stuff that I really should enjoy doing. And here I came back on Monday and stuff just flowed for me. So this is a little mini vacation example that I set up for myself. Now, when I say vacation, people usually think extravagant stuff, right? Going to the Caribbean, going on a cruise, taking an airplane flight, doing travel, that kind of stuff, going to the lake. That's all great. That can all qualify as vacation. But that stuff is also tends to be expensive, tends to be stuff that you can't do very consistently. It's something that you have to really plan out. You make drawn out plans for that stuff. Well, that's not really what a vacation is. That's kind of what a vacation is in our popular culture. But what I tend to, my definition of a vacation is just simply an activity, a goalless activity that takes your mind off of whatever goal-directed activity you typically do. So obviously this applies to your breadwinning job, whatever that is, your 9-to-5, whatever you're doing, or the business that you're running, or the career that you have. So of course, taking vacation off of that. But vacations can also apply to other things. For example, maybe you're observing a strict diet, and you're really diligent on that, and you're working on your diet and your nutrition. So potentially you might want to take a vacation from that, because there's a tendency to burn out from doing that much goal-directed activity. Beyond diet, fitness also comes into play there. The two really go hand in hand. So gym, if you're always hitting the gym nonstop and you're doing that for weeks and months on end, then you can tend to burn out on that stuff, and also something that might warrant taking a vacation from. Beyond that, anything else, any types of maybe hobbies that you're really seriously involved in, any kind of training that you're doing, school, any of those kinds of activities where you're pursuing a goal and you're pursuing some sort of mission there, there's some sort of metrics for success, and you're working towards it. There's stuff you got to do. Whereas the alternate activity to that is goalless activity. So a goalless activity is just sitting around and lounging by the pool, or reading a book just because you enjoy the book and it's fun for you, not because you're reading the book to get information or to learn something. Other goalless activities, I mean, hanging with friends, socializing, watching movies, going to clubs, any of that kind of like fun recreational stuff that is typical, going fishing. So all that is goalless and all that is great. And I think there needs to be a balance in your life between goal-directed activity and goalless activities. And that really brings me to the point of entertainment, because I think that we live in a really entertainment-driven culture. We have a lot of, you know, movies, music, books. If you think about it, a lot of the most valuable stuff that we have in society is really forms of entertainment, ways to take our minds off of work. And we tend to think that, well, there are several opinions about this. Some people, kind of the party animal stereotype, loves entertainment. They just crave that and they want more and more and more and they can't get enough. Other people, maybe probably if you're watching this video and it's resonating with you, then you tend to be a high achiever and you tend to actually love to do your work. And you tend to want to work more and more and more, maybe to the point where you don't take any time off and you don't really look at entertainment as something that's beneficial to you, and you tend to see it as something that's frivolous. And there are several ways that you can view entertainment. One is you can see entertainment as this frivolous thing that's taking time away from your work. Like, you know, maybe you're thinking, if I could just get 6 hours of sleep, feel well rested, and spend the rest of that time doing straight up work, then that would be my perfect day, my perfect week. So that's one way. The second way is to see entertainment as a means to an end. Entertainment is really a way to take your mind off of work and get your mind refreshed and rejuvenated. And so it actually serves a useful purpose. It's not just frivolous. And that's definitely what I'm kind of pushing for in this video. And then the third point is almost like looking at entertainment as an end in itself. So whereas looking at entertainment as a way to rejuvenate your mind for work, that's great. That's entertainment as a means to an end. So it's a means to get more work out of yourself. Whereas if you're looking at entertainment as an end in itself, well, then you just love entertainment. And for you, spending time doing entertainment is kind of the joy in life, is the point in life. Actually, I got the sun in my eyes here, so I'm going to move this just a little bit. Right there. Perfect. Trying to keep myself out of the sun. So, an argument can be made that really life is about goalless, directionless activity, and that work is not the point of life, that play is the point of life, and that work is a way to allow you to have time to play. And so some people definitely come from that mindset, probably that kind of party animal stereotype. But I think there's something inherently true about that. In fact, they did studies on hunter-gatherer tribes, modern hunter-gatherer tribes, and then they applied their findings to hunter-gatherer tribes that we were all part of, you know, like 10,000 years ago. But basically, intuitively, we think that hunter-gatherer tribes, they had a hard life, right? They had to go out and hunt for animals, gather food. They didn't have agriculture. They didn't have a lot of technology. So they spent most of the day working their ass off, building shelters, surviving from predators and gathering food. In fact, what they did is when they did some of these studies in Africa is they found that African hunter-gatherer tribes, they don't spend that much time working. They spent most of their time doing leisure activity. They spend it lounging around and grooming each other and dancing and singing and just enjoying life and socializing. And that is the bulk of their day. It's not work. They might work for 4 hours every day and the rest of it they spend off. And when they're doing that, what do you think they're doing? They're not thinking about work. They're just off enjoying themselves and enjoying the fruits of their labor, so to speak, without worrying about all the stress that comes with modern day type of work that we have. And so, given that, you know, it's actually the truth is kind of counterintuitive, because it seems like now in modern day society in America, we spend way more time working than kind of our biology was designed for. You know, are you working a 40-hour week? That's a typical week, and 40 hours is still way more than a hunter or gatherer would spend working. And if you're working more than 40 hours, well, then you might really be hurting yourself long term, both kind of mentally and spiritually, and even physically, because that stress will eat away at you in all sorts of ways. And ultimately what it does is it tends to backfire. So if you're very gung-ho about being super productive and ambitious and achievement-oriented, results-oriented, I'm all for that. That's definitely me. I think what I've started to find in my life is that it tends to backfire. That kind of mindset tends to backfire on you if you stick too closely to it. And that a much more productive and healthy and more enjoyable way to live is to get nice vacation time in alongside your work. And I think what that does is that it rejuvenates your mind, sets you up to work harder. So instead of spending the weekend doing extra work, what you do is you take the weekend off, enjoy yourself, don't think about work, go party or whatever you enjoy doing, and then come back on Monday. And on Monday, now you're refreshed, you're creative. Whereas if you worked the whole weekend, what would happen is you'd come back on Monday and you'd be drained and you'd have a whole week to slog through and you would start to lose your ambition and your motivation for the stuff that you hopefully love to do, which is, if you set up your work right, then you love to do what you're working on, what brings you money. So why do people overwork? This is something I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about why I overwork sometimes, why I have that tendency. There's definitely, I think, that aspect of being achievement-oriented and results-oriented and wanting results faster. So a certain set, amount of impatience there, wanting it to come faster, therefore you think that if you work more, the stuff will come faster to you. I think that's one part of it. I think another major part of it, ultimately, is that it boils down to fear. You fear that if you don't work hard, something bad is going to happen to you. You fear that you're not going to be able to make ends meet. You fear that you're not going to send your kids to college. You fear that you're not going to have that fancy car to attract the kind of person you want to attract in your life. You fear that you're not going to be successful. You're not going to have the fame that you want in life. You fear that you're not going to be able to retire. So any number of these, you feel that you're not going to be significant. Maybe you fear that you're not going to have the fame that you want, the prestige, accolades of other people. Other people's praise, maybe other people's love even, you might contribute to how much you're working. And so I think that's a dangerous place to come from. I think working from a position of fear is where most of us tend to start. But as we develop more and more and as we grow and as your personality matures, is as you improve overall, as your life improves, what you're going to find is that fear is something you want to move away from as a motivational source, and you want to move towards more of a positive rather than a negative driver in your life. And I've been thinking about this, and I really kind of came up with this idea called what I call the ladder of progress, which is a couple of steps that you go through as you're progressing in anything that you're doing in your life, whether it's your career or going to the gym or sticking to a diet, anything like that. And what I think of when I think about the ladder of progress is that you usually start from a position of scarcity, right? So let's say you want to improve your nutrition. Usually what happens is that when you start, you're basically at the bottom of this ladder of progression. You're eating horrible food, you're eating junk food, you're drinking sodas, a lot of sugar, processed foods, that kind of stuff. So when you start there, and at first, you're just kind of satisfied with that because that's all you know. Then you probably are going to get a little bit of awareness around it. Maybe you're going to read a book. Some people are going to tell you. Maybe your health is going to start to diminish as a result of your diet. And you're going to start to basically, you're going to tell yourself, okay, I gotta do something about this. And so what you do is you tell yourself that you're going to eat healthy from now on. And you do it in a kind of, you don't have a lot of information about it. You've never tried it before. So you're going to give it your best shot. And you're going to do it kind of in a half-assed way. You're not going to be very disciplined about it. You're not going to be very informed. And what's going to happen is you will use a certain amount of discipline to get stuff done, but ultimately you're going to be too lax about it and you're going to fall back. So you're going to advance a little bit for a certain amount of time, and then you're going to fall back. You're going to backslide because you weren't very disciplined about it, you weren't consistent, and you didn't appreciate the challenges that were involved, and probably you didn't have all the information that you wanted to have. And then so you fall back. And then maybe you try again. Like a few months later, you try again. And then again, maybe you fall back. And so what happens is you do that for a while and you get tired. You get frustrated with this yo-yo effect of going up and down. And you say to yourself one day, okay, this is it. I've had enough of this yo-yo. I'm going to get very serious about this. I'm going to apply a lot of discipline and get this stuff handled. And so what you do is, you, sure enough, you get very motivated. You get very disciplined on yourself. Use a lot of harsh discipline, a lot of ultimatums and a lot of fear behind it. And what you do is you basically fear yourself into a lot of disciplined action, and therefore you get some decent results. You start really monitoring your intake of foods, and you start doing good. And then you keep at that, so you've gone up on that progress chart, and you keep doing that and you're getting decent results, but it's feeling frustrating. And everything is very effortful. Everything is labored. Everything is grindy. And you're starting to develop some anger and animosity towards the fact that you have to do it this way, and that other people around you are eating whatever they want to eat. And ultimately what happens is that your willpower breaks. Your willpower will break down and you will backslide again. And in fact, maybe this time the backslide will be even worse, because what happened is that you applied so much discipline, and then you hate to see yourself fail at that. And eventually your willpower will break. You're going to have weaknesses in your willpower, so maybe it means that you're going to go for that ice cream late at night or whatever it might be, and you're going to fall off track again. And then you're going to get even more frustrated because you think that you're not capable of advancing and progressing. And so what happens then is that you get even more disciplined, and you really get harsh on yourself, and you basically whip yourself into shape, and you put a lot of fear behind it, and you get more results. And as you do that, you are getting results, but also you're building up this this latent fear. It's like this pool of fear that builds up underneath all of your results, and it's telling you that as soon as you let go of the reins, everything's going to fall to pieces. And the scary thing about that is that in some cases it's illusory, but in other cases it's actually true. If you do let go of the reins, if those reins, holding onto them so tight, was critical to your success, letting go of them might lead all that to unravel. And so that fear might be legitimate. And what happens is that with that fear in place, you really don't allow yourself to kind of relax and let things breathe and take on a more easy discipline. And eventually you burn yourself out and you backslide again. And after doing this for a while, you're going to start to realize that that's not the best way to do it, that kind of harsh discipline. What you want instead is you want to let things breathe, and you want to take sort of a moderate, steady, consistent approach. What you're going to find is after you do a bunch of that yo-yo, and you're going to get so tired of it, that you're going to say to yourself, you know what, I'm tired of these short-term results. What I want is I want to make changes that last. I want to make changes that are permanent and that stick. And I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of short-term productivity to get that. So if I'm going to start my diet, maybe I'm not going to be so strict on it. You know, maybe I don't have to be perfect every day. Maybe I can be just decent every other day. And that will be a good way to start the process. And then from there, you tell yourself, well, I'll build on that. Let's see how that goes. And then if that goes well, I'll just build on it and just keep going like that. That kind of approach, that kind of more soft discipline that you take, I find it's much more of a mature, kind of enlightened way to go about progressing in anything, whether it's fitness, nutrition, or your career, anything that you're trying to get good at and you're trying to progress in your life. And so essentially what you do is you start to develop a very even-keeled, grounded sort of motivation. And that motivation is grounded in what you want to do, not what is scaring the bejesus out of you, which is, you know, fear of failure, or fear of not being successful, or not being loved, or fear of not getting approval from your parents, you know, whatever that fear is right now that might be motivating you to do what you're doing, you want to try to shift away from that into something that's more positive. The reason why you're doing it for yourself, not for anybody else, and that reason should be because you enjoy doing what you're doing and somehow it's improving your health or it's improving your life. Ultimately, what you find is even that soft kind of discipline, if you do it long enough, it starts to turn into, I think, when you really develop mastery for something, it starts to turn into almost this unconscious, unconscious behavior habit that you start to form. Although I would say that it's more long-term than a habit. A habit might take 30 or 60 days to develop. This thing might take years to develop, is this kind of just unconscious mastery of what you're going after, so that nutrition is just automatic for you. It's not even something that you have to discipline yourself about, not even in an easy way. It's just something that you naturally do because you basically integrated it into your head. So that's kind of the seventh step progress ladder that I kind of came up with. There's more details on that in the article below. And I find that that's very true for anything that I'm kind of progressing at. And I think it's a good gauge to see where you're at in whatever you're trying to master, is to see what step of that ladder you're at. Are you at that initial step where you're just kind of totally undisciplined? If you are, you're probably not even watching this. Or are you at one of those higher steps? Maybe you're at that step where you're using a lot of fear to motivate yourself, and now you have some awareness around it, so now you can kind of start to shift yourself away from it. The next thing I wanted to talk about is breaks. So vacations we defined as anything that takes your mind off of goal-directed activity. And I typically think of a vacation as like at least a couple of days, so maybe a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of deal. Breaks are also important and also a great way to increase your productivity at work. And to me, a break is identical to a vacation, other than that it's just shorter. Break is something that lasts, you know, 5 to 60 minutes. And my question for you is, if you're working hard, how many times during the day do you take a break while you're working? And how long are those breaks? Are they like 5 minute breaks, 10 minute breaks, 15 minute breaks? And what are you doing during those breaks? Are you maximizing that break time to rejuvenate your mind so that you can work harder when you get back? Or are you essentially wasting that break by thinking about work while you're breaking, or doing something else that's not as refreshing as it could be? Or are you not even taking breaks at all, which is definitely something that I have a tendency to do. It's hard for me to just stop while I'm in the flow of doing something and taking a break. And then there's also this problem of when you take a break, trying to keep that break to that 15 minutes that you want it to be, rather than having it bleed out into an hour and lead to slacking off of the tasks that you need to do. So breaks, I think, are critical if you want to start optimizing your schedule. In fact, what I'm talking about here is setting up a daily schedule for yourself that involves the right proportion of work and play, so that you are getting maximal rejuvenation, so that your work can be boosted. And counterintuitively, the work is not boosted by just putting in more hours. What we want to talk about is putting in quality hours versus just pure hours. Because you can put in 80 hours a week, but is that going to lead to the same kind of results that you'll get if you put in a high quality 40 hours a week, and then also spend that other 40 hours now having fun and doing stuff that you really, really enjoy? So if you can manage that 40 hours of work and 40 hours of play, I think that's going to be a much better scenario than if you just put all 80 hours into pure work. And one great technique that I found for setting up your day schedule from Evan Pagan, actually, is that you want to work in about 1.5 hour to 2 hour blocks of time where you can totally focus on whatever you need to focus on, and you're working really hard, you're working diligently, and then you take a break. You take like a 15 to 30 minute break. Maybe you grab some food, whatever. The idea, though, is when you're taking that break, totally take your mind off of whatever you were working on, so you're getting some new stimulation and you're getting refreshed. And then you go back in and you do another stretch of an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, where you work real hard, and then you take another break. And during the day, you only put in maybe two or three of these 2 hour segments. So ultimately, you're only doing about 4 to 6 hours of true work. The rest of it, you're taking time off in a strategic way, and then enjoying all that time that you actually saved for yourself. You take that later in the day and do whatever you want with it. So I find that this is a good approach, because if you create your own schedule for yourself and you set your schedule from, say, 9 to 5, and this will mostly apply to, let's say, a business owner. Obviously, if you're working a 9 to 5 for somebody else, then you have set hours. But if you're managing your own time, if you have that luxury, then just setting a schedule like 9 to 5 is when you're working might not be ideal, because those 8 hours, very few people can actually manage to put in 8 hours of solid, high quality work throughout the day. This is kind of a misconception, you know, when people tell you that they're working 8 hours a day, how many of that time are they actually spending doing productive activity? How much of that time are they wasting looking at Facebook, talking with friends, just doodling or whatever it is that they do, or just like staring at a blank computer screen? If you're working for yourself, all you ultimately care about is the productivity. You don't care how many hours are put in per se. So if you can minimize your time and keep the productivity the same, why not do that, right? You're gonna save yourself a lot of hassle, you're gonna feel better, and not only that, you're actually gonna get more productivity out of it, because that extra time that you save, you can spend that time having fun, enjoying yourself, and then that's gonna put you in a more resourceful state when you come back the next week or the next day. So that 2 hour schedule, that's something I've toyed with, and I found that it works pretty well. Sometimes I just put in two hour work segments per day. So that's like 4 hours of total work. Sometimes I'll put in three of those. And I find when I do that, I really tell myself, I put limits. I say that I'm gonna focus for about 2 hours. That allows me to put all my attention to that one task for a couple of hours and get much better productivity ultimately. I get better results, better output than if I just sat for 8 hours straight and had to work. Because honestly, you can't work very diligently for 8 hours straight. You're gonna just lose energy and you're gonna need breaks. Speaking of which, this point is really underlined in a book called The Talent Code, which talks about how to develop mastery at things and how to become very talented, how to become world-class. And what the author did was he looked at various world-class athletes and other professionals and looked at how they become good in the process of that. And one of the things that he really stresses is this idea that all very excellent people, all very productive people, all very talented people tend to do deep practice, which means that they do very, very focused, intensive sessions of practicing whatever they want to get good at, whether it's a sport, a hobby, a musical instrument, their career, acting, you know, whatever it might be. And so this idea of deep practice is great. I'm going to cover it on other topics, but what I really wanted to say about it here was that with deep practice, what this author mentioned in the Talent Code was that even the people that are the best at what they do in the world, like world-class tennis champions and chess players and musicians, they can only sustain a limited amount of deliberate practice per day. And that comes out to like 3 to 5 hours total. And even in those 3 to 5 hours, very rarely is an expert able to sustain more than 1 or 2 hours of deliberate practice in one chunk of time. So what that tells you is it proves the point that it's very hard to get 8 hours of solid productivity out of yourself. It's much better to be honest with yourself. You know what? I don't need to buy into this notion that I need to be working 8 hours a day. I'll buy into the notion instead that I'm going to work efficiently and productively in shorter blocks of time, and then I'm going to use the rest of it to enjoy myself, and that is going to lead to the best possible outcome. And so that's the way that I encourage you to structure your schedule, structure your day. I encourage you to take breaks regularly. Take 10, 15 minute breaks so that you're refreshing your mind. Spend that time doing something that really takes your mind off the work. And of course, I encourage you to take vacations. If you've ever taken a vacation, has that ever happened to you where you take a vacation after like maybe you've worked for 2 or 3 years and you've never taken any breaks, and then you take a vacation and then you come back to work the next week and you feel so rejuvenated, so refreshed, you feel creative, you feel more alive, you feel good in your body, you don't feel frustrated, nothing seems effortful, everything flows for you. It's kind of a shocking feeling to feel that, because what happens is it's like that old example of the of boiling a frog. If you just take a frog and you put it in some cold water, and then you put that in a pan, and you put that fan onto a stove, and you just slowly bring up the temperature, that frog is not even gonna register that the water is starting to boil, and basically the frog is gonna boil and cook itself to death, because the change is so gradual that the frog doesn't notice. Well, the same thing tends to happen if you're working a lot. If you've been working for a year or two, basically what's gonna happen is your body and your mind is gonna forget what it feels like to be creative. It's gonna forget what it feels like to be refreshed. It's gonna forget what it feels like to be motivated and energized and positive at what you're doing. And it's gonna forget what it feels like to be truly productive with every minute of your time. And so taking that break, when you take that vacation, it's gonna give you kind of a shock to the system. You're gonna say to yourself, "Oh man, wow! This is what it felt like, but I totally forgot that I could even feel this good." And so, if you resonate with that experience, then I think you can have kind of a palpable understanding of why vacations and breaks are so important if you care about your productivity and your lifelong health and your happiness.